You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got an update right now for you. The Browns on Wednesday have signed defensive back Chance Casey to the practice squad. A practice squad roster spot was available because linebacker Hayes Pollard, who the Browns drafted this year out of USC, was signed to Jacksonville's active roster. So I'm guessing they had an opportunity to promote Hayes Pollard. You always have the opportunity with your own guy, right? If he's going to get signed off to say, all
you
right,
do.
We'll keep you, we're going to keep you here.
But he's got to go, practice squad to active, just as he would as the team that's claiming him.
And so the Browns decided not to do that. They're opting to stick with Jason DeMont, who was signed at linebacker this week. And now Hayes Pollard is a Jacksonville Jaguar. And added to the team on the practice squad is defensive back Chance Casey. May have been the guy, the young man we just saw walking around the building just a little bit earlier. Let's bring in our producer, Matt Fontaine. Now we'll go inside the mailbag here on this Wednesday. Matt, what you got?
Yeah, and remember, everybody can tweet their questions in at Browns_daily or at Nathan Zagura. First question coming from Phil. He asked, guys, what can the Browns do to improve their run defense for the remainder of the season?
Matt, the million-dollar question.
It's a billion-dollar question, and I'm sure everybody wants to know about what it is going, when this is going to get fixed. 32nd last year, 32nd this year by a wide margin, almost two first downs a game running, 20 yards. What is there a quick fix? Is there anything you've seen on tape?
There's not a quick fix, and I think what it boils down to is the players in their meetings conveying to the coaches of everyone, player to player, player to coach, holding each other accountable to play together for 60 minutes. And I think how you do that is you watch, you know, maybe again the last 3 weeks, and I know there's grad assistants, but quality control coaches or video people that can put together clips of you playing Cleveland Brown defense, you know, for, and as Mike Pettine said in the first half, waves of it, you know, series of it, of playing collectively solid run defense as a team, and you have your coaches point out exactly why, you know, watch this guy overtake this blocker. Watch this fit of the linebacker. Watch Dante Whitner come down and make the play. And all those things so that you get ingrained in your brain what playing good run defense looks like, so much so that you hope it's contagious and carries over, you know, into your football game, so you don't have the breakdowns that the Cleveland Browns seem to have by giving up that chunk run or chunk runs in a football game. That is all the difference in the world of why being ranked 32nd or you could very easily be ranked 22nd.
Yeah, those chunk runs are huge. And you look at it in the National Football League so far, the most 20-yard runs given up by a team this year, 11. That's the Chargers. Second, the Cleveland Browns with 10. The most 40-yard runs given up by a team this year, 4. That is the Cleveland Browns. No team has given up a combination of 20-plus 40-yard runs more than the Cleveland Browns this season, and that is the big problem there. No team's given up more first downs via the run than the Cleveland Browns, 49 on the season. So you're right. Those are the issues right there, that they cannot stop the run. And what's amazing is the Browns are being run on the third most in terms of attempts, but the two teams, so the Browns are giving up 29.6 attempts a game. The only team's giving up more rushing attempts again, Miami 32, the Lions 31, but they're both giving up 20 or 30 yards respectively fewer per game than the Cleveland Browns. And they're giving up a full yard per carry less than the Cleveland Browns this season. Yes, they've got to get that cleaned up. All right, Matt, what else you got?
This one's from G-Man. He says, guys, why is Pettine blamed for the penalties? Isn't that purely on the players?
That's a good question, and I'd be curious to get your take on it, because we hear teams that have a lot of penalties are undisciplined, and that means that they're poorly coached. What do you say as a player?
I say it is always a point of emphasis. Every single coach makes it a point of emphasis to be, you know, play within the rules, and we saw firsthand how a penalty can affect and change a football game when you make a play and it comes back, or a kickoff return or punt return comes back because of a penalty. And as I continually talk about, it's all about the point of reference. How frequent is that reference of playing penalty-free or mistake-free football? And the amount of emphasis that a coach puts on it. Because everyone says it, but some are like meticulous and monotonous with how often it is in right in front of your face, to the point where you don't ever want to be the guy that has the holding call or jumps off sides or the quarterback that takes a delay. Because, and I think in some cases it coincides with not just the coach but the coaching staff. It has a lot to do with efficiency, because if you're doing the right drills, you're teaching the right things, it's just natural that you play within the rules and you don't deviate away from those techniques and do things on your own, which in some cases you feel like you have to do or you want to do because of old bad tendencies that lead to penalties.
Agreed. All right, what else you got, Matt?
Again, you can tweet all your questions at Browns_daily. You can use the hashtag AskCBD. Let's see what we got. This one's from Jay Webbs. He said, guys, why isn't guys like Dwayne Bowe and EJ Bibbs getting a chance? I know Pettine said some guys are entrenched, but it can't get much worse.
I don't know the answer to that question, especially maybe this week with Andrew Hawkins hurt. You'll get an opportunity to see Dwayne Bowe. But I don't know why we haven't seen Dwayne Bowe. That's obviously with the coaches. EJ Bibbs was a guy who I thought played very well in the preseason and has not yet gotten his opportunity in the regular season.
This one's from Jim. Obviously, we see that Sean Gibson most likely going to practice today, but he asks, what other options do we have at free safety with Poyer down? Could Kaywan Williams step in there?
Yeah, Kaywan Williams was cross-trained some in training camp there, but Ibrahim Campbell could also play there, and they'd kind of play like two stronger safeties and maybe not play a traditional free safety type of a position.
Or there. What you would do is if Ibrahim got a significant amount of reps at strong safety, Witt goes to free. It's not the ideal situation, but you make Ibrahim the definitive strong safety, playing in the run game, you know, manning up tight ends, and you put Dante, who probably at some points in one of his stops between Buffalo and San Francisco has played some free.
Here's one from Drew Berlovich. Says, is Pettine making progress as a coach? Said after the Jets game, mistakes are, quote, fixable, but saw some of the same issues against the Rams. And again, it goes back to how much of that is coaching, how much of that is on the players, and what is the accountability that you can have? Can you just start, do you start sitting people because they're getting penalties, because they're missing, they're blowing their assignments, repeat offenders? Mike Pettine talked about that, and I asked him, and we'll continue to ask him on the coaches show, which airs Thursday night. You know, you've talked about this, all this self-scouting, self-evaluation, changes need to be made. Are there going to be changes in playing time? Are there going to be changes in the starting lineup?
There should be at some point, and I know in some places, and this is not, I think it might in fact be illegal for the coaches to do it, but in some of those meeting rooms, as I talk, as you grow in a bond with your, you know, with your, the players in your room and the accountability that you need to hold each other to, there were times where if you got a holding penalty or, you know, I would say offensive line, if a false start or a holding penalty, you started getting fined. Not fined by the organization, not fined by the coaches, but fined by your teammates.
Ah.
You know, $500 for every holding call. $1,000 every time you jump off sides. And I'm just throwing numbers out there. But you pull that money towards charity, towards something at the end of the year, like a huge dinner, a night out, a weekend out, whatever it is, or a trip. But no one wants to be the guy that put the money in the pot. You know, no one wants to be the guy that loses a bet. And that's the accountability that you can create from player to player. And the coaches feed into it and think it's fun, but it's the competitor in you, and in this case, it's the reverse psychology. You're a loser if you put money in the pot, so stay on sides and don't hold.
That's right. Stay out of the pot. Up with hope, down with the pot. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, thanking you once again for being with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Tomorrow, we will hear from the head offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. Tomorrow, we will hear as well from the defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill. It's Coordinator Thursday. We'll start to go through the position-by-position breakdown of this game, introduce you to the Arizona Cardinals and their playmakers, of which they have many on both sides of the ball. That'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks again for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.